had to drug it a little bit, the fly, so it would just be really slow. I thought that was kind of weird, frankly.
Yeah, well, that was weird.
Yeah. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to have Gary Rue in studio with me on KYMN, a friend you definitely can count on. And I'm playing with the computer, and I'm not a very good player with the computer, and I was trying to find that particular song. But let's go to one of your songs out of your brand new album, and let's listen. And you tell me what cut, and first tell us how you were, how the song came about, your inspiration.
I think probably most interesting to the audience might be Everyday Hero, track number 4.
Okay.
It's something that has come up as a favorite, I think, with contemporaries, certainly. Because I ask them, I say, what stands out to you? And they said, that song in particular does. Prudence Johnson shares a vocal with me on this one. I think we have a fellow named Styx Kiley playing drums. Bass would very likely be a fellow named Kent Taylor, who used to play in the Gene Pitney Orchestra with me and passed away in the 90s. I'm probably playing guitar and singing. And it was supposed to, it was a commission for a piece. Target was going to start a new chain called Everyday Hero. And I wrote the song, and it never happened. And so now it's mine. I mean, no papers were ever signed or anything. The lyric really doesn't have much to do with Everyday Hero. It does have to with the store. It has to do with somebody you think you can count on. And we don't talk about them and think about them quite so much as maybe we ought to. So that's what that song's about.
Okay, we'll give a listen, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Rue.
There is something we all need from one another. It's not something you can taste or hear or touch. Extraordinary power from everyday people. All the things you do for me that mean so much. You make life much easier.
You take time to understand.
Open heart and open arms.
When life can be so demanding.
When I've got you by my side, helping me to make a stand. My someone is there to follow through with a steady hand to guide you over deep dark water and a gift of trust from one whose aim is true. Strength to help me carry on.
Strong enough to shelter me.
I will do the same for you.
We can help each other see.
With you I'll never feel alone. That's why you will always be my.
Everyday Hero, written by Gary Rue, and he's in my studio right now. That's unusual to start a song with a vocal immediately, isn't it?
Well,
let me turn you on. There we go.
We can talk about that.
I do.
In radio, as you know, you get a chance to introductions have been written into songs over the years to accommodate the announcer and to be able to sell product. And if you think back to the Beatles, for instance, their hit song Help or She Loves You or a lot of songs like that, they start right from the get-go, you get a vocal. And my philosophy, and a fellow who taught with me, Pete Johnson at McNally Smith, our philosophy is, if you don't need an introduction, don't put one in there. It's only, a lot of times it's only there to accommodate sales on the radio. And they can talk on the ramp in, they can talk on the ramp out, and they can sometimes, and some do, even talk on the solo section. And I find that very disappointing, because what it does is it distracts from the piece of music as a whole. Introductions, if they're there, they're put there for a reason. They're part of the composition. If you take a song like Now, think back to perhaps Day Tripper, the Beatles song. Down, 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 down. Or Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman. Down, 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 down. That is arguably as much part of the composition as any melody that was written in that song. However, someone in a new generation now, not yours, not mine, but would look at that song and say, that's something I can talk over. But that is not something they can talk over. That's not something they should talk over. And so that is why I always give myself permission to never have an intro unless I really need it, because I just go to sleep from some of them because they're interesting. They're silly.
I'm sorry, I just turned off.
That's right.
I hit the cough button.
You hit the cough button.
And I turned you off.
Okay.
Sorry.
Cough rhymes with off.
But, you know, when I was a disc jockey, and even nowadays when I will play music, I like to be able to talk over the ramp. Mm-hmm. And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite songs of all time, everybody knows, sing along with Pretty Woman.
Wouldn't talk over that intro, though. You would never have talked over that intro. I know you wouldn't have. There are other songs.
No, I probably wouldn't because it's part of the whole thing.
It's part of the song.
But there are songs that you know, it even tells you what the ramp time is, and you like to, as a cool disc jockey, you like to be able to do the talk over and boom, get the singing part of it.
Well, for the most part, there are a lot of songs out there right now. In fact, probably about 90% of them, you could justifiably talk over the whole song, and
okay,
it wouldn't make any difference.
I don't even know. You know, nowadays with all the equipment that's available and the computer, I've heard of guys that have done a 4-hour radio show in 45 minutes because it's all programmed.
Yeah.
And then he just would do his little bit thing and all that, and 20 minutes after the hour instead of 20 minutes after 2 or something
sure
like that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, there's no work involved, comparatively speaking. Now, when you did that song, that was in the 90s, you said, or maybe?
That was probably 80s.
80s?
Yeah,
okay.
Late 80s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know that you can build a studio in a closet.
Yeah, I got a studio right here.
Yeah.
My phone.
So,
multi-track.
Now, back then, in the 80s, did you have to lease a studio and
we owned a
rent
studio.
Some players?
We owned a studio. We have a board probably at least twice as big as the one that you have here in front of you. It's about 6 feet long. And a big, huge patch bay. And everything. We used to sample things by walking around with a microphone and recording it and dumping it in to a taped, you know, 8-track, reel-to-reel. And then we would, we'd, of course, do splicing. You remember the old splice and edit thing?
Yep.
You know, and you had to actually know what you were doing then. And now you don't really need to know what you're doing, which accounts for a lot of the mediocrity that I hear all the time. If you have a tool, and it's a good tool, that allows people that normally wouldn't be able to use that tool or be able to accomplish that, they're able to because of the tool.
Well, I watch him produce commercials here,
mm-hmm.
and the salesman goes in there and stands at the computer, and I see all the lines going up and down and this and that, and I got an idea of what they're doing, and right down to a millisecond, and you and I struggled with the reel-to-reel tape recording, and they can read the music without any audio.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right. I know. Somerset Maugham, who wrote Of Human Bondage and many other great novels, said, everyone has a book in them. Whether they should write it or not is another matter. So That's I've got that hung on my wall in my office.
Are you tempted?
Not writing a book. It applies to anything. Songwriting, especially songwriting in my world. There's an awful lot of information out there, right? There is a lot coming at you. And I know that some people just... A record like this, which I think has a lot of the songs on here, I love all these songs. I think they're good songs. But there is so much information out there, it's more difficult now with my being able to look back on the history of the business. I've got some time behind me, and I got some time in front of me. But I can look back and I can say, because you had to be better at what you did to actually accomplish the real product, that, and now that's not necessarily true. So it's I wouldn't have the faintest that you mentioned talking about this to other towns on the Mississippi. That's a pretty good marketing idea. But beyond that, I wouldn't have the faintest idea who to give this to in the business where it might get some profile. And I know a lot of people in the business. I know a lot. And anybody that gets to stay in the business and be as old as I am, you're bound to learn to get to know a lot of people. And it bewilders me how to get music anywhere anymore. I'm just utterly bewildered by it. And so I don't really do much with it. I put this CD out. I didn't really release it. I just kind of said, here it is. Mm-hmm. Didn't do a show, none of that stuff, because I didn't quite know what to do with it, except that there's the old saying that an artist doesn't necessarily have to sell their work, but they do have to show it. So we will keep recording.
Well, the broadcast industry has changed dramatically from when I first went into it, and now you get a radio station in the Twin Cities and in Boston and Hollywood and in Detroit and Miami, and they're all owned by the same company.
Yeah.
And they have one programmer, and he or she decides what music they're going to play in what market. So there goes the program director from the local radio station.
Yeah.
They don't need them.
Yeah.
So in your since you were involved in the 70s, not the 60s, right?
Yeah, I was in the 60s. In the day 60s. After the Beatles came on, I had Sullivan. I was there.
Okay.
February 24th.
Yeah. Okay, so if you were in, you know what it took to get play on the radio, and mm-hmm. what some experiences did you have?
Well, we had an agent.
With Gene Pitney and others.
Oh, Gene, I don't know about Gene. I didn't do any recording with him.
Who am I thinking of?
Huh?
I thought he was...
I was his music director for 20 years, but I didn't do any studio work
marketing.
With him marketing. I just played shows with him.
Okay.
But for me, I know that what happened with us in my band, The Sleepers, which Gordon Oswald is a member of... sort of like a Nightcrawlers, you know.
Yeah.
You know the Nightcrawlers.
Yeah.
We were contemporaries from Tracy, Minnesota. What we did was we had an agent from Mankato named Don Madison. And what he would do, we recorded a 45, Hey Girl, backed with a Rascals, Young Rascals song called Do You Feel It? And he got the 45s and he did the legwork, the gumshoe stuff. He looked up where to go. He had a list of radio stations. He probably came down here with it, and he probably went to, you know, any place that had a radio station. And he got us a lot of airplay, and that's how we got to a certain point. We achieved some notoriety, so we were able to play some of the better venues in the 4 or 5 state area. And it took a lot of legwork. And we recorded this record, and it was only 2 songs, and it probably cost somewhere between $500 and $800 to do that back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Which is about $4,000 or $5,000 now.
Yes.
And now all I gotta do now is get out my iPhone and I can do a multi-track recording here. And you have no skin in the game anymore. You know, to be good at it. And having said that, of course, people are gonna like what they like, and that's all there is to that. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm just noting that it's a lot easier and cheaper now, which is why more people are doing it, and which I would have to honestly say it doesn't increase the top-end quality percentage, but it does increase the lower quality percentage because more people who probably aren't really good at it can do it. So that's what we have, and that's just what we have.
The Mississippi song that had a bio. How would you describe that music?
Kind of a Cajun-y thing. Yeah, the accordion makes it feel that way.
Yeah,
and Dan Chouinard is just a great accordionist, and it just seemed like that's what it needed. So there he was, and he offered to do it. All the people that played on this record, for the most part, contributed their talents for free.
Wow.
Because I went to them and said, I've got a demo I need to do here, and here's the source of the demo. And if it pays, well, I probably paid them $50 a piece, something like that, some of them. But certainly not all of them. And there's something that happens in the music business, which I'm always afraid to ask people to do something for free, but they're always willing to do it for free if they like what you do. And they know most of the stuff they do doesn't go anywhere. But like I said, you don't have to sell it, but you do have to show it. And they are just loving participants in things. And I'd do anything for any of them too, except quite honestly, I'm not the player that these people are. So I doubt that they would necessarily want me in their studio session because I'm not that good in the studio. I can write. That's my strength. But I enjoy being in the studio.
Let's hear another song.
Okay, we want something that, let's see. Okay, here's one. Here's a wild song. This one is a short one. It's got Dave Jensen on trumpet in a trumpet solo. It'd be track 14. I'll explain it just a little bit before we do it. It's an optimistic song, and I typically don't write a lot of optimistic songs. I don't know why. But this is pretty happy, upbeat, fast, and it's, the lyric just says it all. It's kind of fun, you know. Go ahead with this thing. 2 minutes and 21 seconds. I want to love you so bad.
I want to love you so bad. Everything I said, why I didn't want you hanging around. Your feet don't fit.
I don't really care.
Your nose too big.
I'm not gonna stare.
You stand too tall. Your tongue too tight. And that's not all. I swore I'd leave you, but I lied. I've been here making lots of noise, worried about the shape I'm in. And I'm so tired of hanging with the boys. But I never know how to begin. I snap my feet.
Will I ever learn?
There's no time left.
Nothing worth a fight.
Words will come and thoughts will fly. And so will we. And so I tell you that is why I wanna love you so bad. I wanna love you so bad. But I don't ever wanna go around and round with you. Better things to do. So paddle off to Paris to a place I know on the Rue de Madeleine. Come on, let's just get up and go.
I just love to.
Oh, we will never know
if we never
I want to love you so bad. Gary Rue and the crew on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Was that done in studio all at once, or did you bring in individuals and track it out and then mix it?
I'm trying to remember. We probably did rhythm section all at once and then did the vocal separately, backup vocals separately. Johnny Hagan is on there singing backups with me and playing tambourine, and I think Jeff Wilkin plays bass. Pete Johnson plays drums. I'm on guitar and singing, and Dave Jensen plays trumpet. The ancillary instruments, like the trumpet, of course, were put in later. But I wanted to say something about this. This little group I've got called Nip and Tuck is playing at Imminent Brewery on Friday, October 26th. That's one of the songs that is in our playlist. And, oops, sorry. I kind of slid that across the desk.
That's all right. You're going to be picking another song anyhow.
But it's a good little group. It's a trio at Imminent Brewery on Friday, February 26th from 7 until 9 p.m. And we'd like to have everybody come down. I know a lot of my favorite folks down here are listening. Wendy Smith, are you listening? Dave, are you listening? Show up if you can. That's the Zillionaires people. Of course, they're usually playing. But if they're not, I like to see them. And lots of great folks down at Imminent. So that'll be fun.
I heard they were packed this past weekend.
I don't doubt they're packed all the every time I go in there, except when we play. No,
boom, come on. Yeah. the three are, what's the name of that trio?
Nip and Tuck.
And the reason for that name?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you have so many different names.
This band was started in the 70s. We started out as a show band called Three to Get Ready. And then...
that's cute. Yeah. That is. That's really cute. Three to Get Ready. That's a good name.
Then we came to be Nip and Tuck. And I tried to get a Facebook page for Nip and Tuck. And Facebook wouldn't allow me to have it because of the word Nip, which is derogatory for Nipponese, Japanese.
Oh, I never knew
they
that.
They wouldn't let me have the name, although the TV show Nip and Tuck has a Facebook page. So we spelled ours K-N-I-P, okay. Nip and Tuck.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, that's okay. So we've got that. So yeah, that's just another band. It's just another band. I've had so many of them, but we...
You're on guitar, and what are the other two guys on?
Bass and drums.
Okay.
It's just a power cream-like trio. You know, it's with a lot of vocal.
They sing also?
Yeah, all three of us do. Yeah.
So how many mics do you use at the Imminent?
Just
Imminent?
Three. You don't mic anything else up, just the voices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could, but we choose not to. It's going to get too loud.
Yeah.
You know, we're loud enough without it.
That's coming up when?
Friday, October 26th.
And where's the location?
Imminent.
And that's where?
Brewery in Northfield? I believe that's in Northfield.
I'm just helping you.
I know you
are.
You're doing a good job, too. Yeah. Thank you. It's across from Econo Foods, right?
There is no Econo Foods.
What?
No, they're gone.
What do you mean they're gone?
They're now Fair Food or something like that.
Oh, well, they're right across the street from Fair Food then.
When they went through all the remodeling.
Oh, yeah, I know they did that.
And they dropped the name Econo Foods, and it's Fair Food or Fair something or other. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that's given a commercial, but it's right downtown. They're all open. I don't know if they're ever grand opening or anything, but anyhow, it is 10:25 on 1080 Radio. Gary Rue is my guest on Kim, and the main reason I asked him to come back is because I enjoyed talking to him, and the second reason was to find out what the heck went on with McNally Smith, a college that just closed like that, no forewarning. I guess you did a week for free.
Yeah.
And I'm just saddened by the fact that these kids can't complete and get a diploma and show prospective employers or band members or whatever that they have this education in music, writing, composing, arranging, playing, right? Did everything?
Big disappointment to 568 people, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So do you think you'll ever get that final paycheck?
It's possible. I know they liquidated assets, and we're hoping that, we'll get something. If we don't, we don't. No one's holding their breath.
Is anybody going to sue them? Well,
there are lines of lawyers around the block trying to sue them. They broke a couple federal laws by shutting down, with no notice, more than 100 workers, and that's illegal. There's a federal law against it. It has an acronym that I can't recall right now, but that's just the least of their worries. Sadly, they're probably in a good deal of trouble, but I would guess that just because the old turnip analogy, can't squeeze blood out of them, I doubt that much of it will bear any fruit. We'll see. And, you know, I'm sure they feel pretty darn bad about what happened, but maybe a little more.
You don't seem to be bitter.
I'm not. No.
A waste of time?
I'm not. For me personally, and believe me when I say this is just for me, I was not, I think a lot of instructors there, and I will speak for a few, that of course, if there were a way to make money in the music business like we used to, we wouldn't be teaching. Teaching is a lovely way to connect with new people. And the people that are coming up through the ranks and the ones that are going to really be good, and you know who they are right away. In 5 minutes, you know who they are. But in the end, what I was truly meant to be doing was performing and writing, and I wouldn't have time to do that when I was teaching as much as I wanted. And now I'm doing it, and now things are terrific. I'm, like I said, I'm busier than I've ever been. I'm really, really just lucky.
Have any of the students ever come to a gig that you were involved in?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Did you feel any particular kind of pressure that you got to really perform so they, you know, are impressed?
That's a really good question. So, and when I when people respond with "That's a really good question," that usually means I'm trying to think of an answer. What happened with that is, I remember one in particular. I was playing at the Underground Music Cafe in St. Paul, and three of my favorite students came to see me, just dropped in out of nowhere. And the gap we tried to close when I was teaching was that there is a craft, and I'm not telling students how to write, I'm telling them how to build a song so it works for an audience. Not saying what style to use, none of that other stuff. But this generation of writers, they're more off the cuff and more ad-libbing than perhaps what this is, this craft singles record. And so I did feel that when they were there. I thought they're probably not going to understand this the way someone closer to my age would. But I still have this confidence that I know it's really good stuff. And I hope some of that comes through to them, at least in the foundational craft aspects of it. And I think it did. I love those students. I just loved them. My heart broke for them. And but like I said, the ones that came to see me were people that said, okay, school's done. I've had my tears. Now I'm going to get to work. They did. They're doing well.
All right. So, did you say that you're not that good on a guitar?
In a studio environment, I don't consider myself to be that good on a guitar, except for playing maybe a strong rhythm acoustic track. I can do that because I can keep time really well. And I can be in a box. But if you let me out of the box, I'm like a greyhound that doesn't have an oval to run on. It goes, whoa, 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 every which way. And I know this
he
from experience.
He demonstrated that, by the way.
I had a greyhound once, and the name was Jack, and I took him out to a field to run, and they want to be on an oval. That's what they're used to. And I let him loose, and these dogs, they can run 45 miles an hour in three steps. They're up to that speed. And he did a couple of ovals and came by me just as close as he could without knocking me over. And then he just took off running, and he went over the edge down into some woods, and it took me half an hour to find him. He didn't know what to do. He'd go one way, the other way, one way, the other way. Where do I go? What do I do? Anyway, that's what I'm kind of like on guitar, so it's off the cuff for me. So
do you
I'm
have
probably...
do you have any song on that album that highlights your guitar playing?
Probably not, because I also happen to have the subjective attitude that I've had enough guitar solos and I don't really need to hear anymore.
Yeah, but I do.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to take a break while you're looking at that, okay?
When sure. You work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. I'm Greg Berube, the owner of CrossFit Scopus. After spending time in our facility and with our team, we want our members to walk out of our doors feeling like a better version of themselves. You can lose weight, build muscle, and get a great workout in, but the community and support of Scopus will keep you coming back for more. Go to CrossFitScopus.com. We will help you build life-changing habits that improve your quality of life for now and for the future. We are CrossFit Scopus in Dundas, right by Menards.
Are you in the market for a new home or considering remodeling your current home? Schmidt Homes and Schmidt Homes Remodeling should be your first and last call. Schmidt Homes, known for their innovative designs, uncompromising quality and craftsmanship, superior service, while maintaining their reputation of fairness, honesty, and integrity for over 30 years. They're the only builder in the area to offer an in-house designer and a showroom to make your selections. They have over 30 new building lots available in Northfield. Check out their website at schmidthomes.com for more information.
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. And it's a beautiful day. Today is Wednesday, the 12th day of November. September. September. And I should have said that at the beginning in case you want to listen back. Like, when was that? So now we know. September 12th, 2018. I want to play another selection off your album. And then I'd like to talk about your wife.
Okay, yeah. We got married July 1st.
We got married
Fever, hotter than a pepper sprout.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. Yeah, and she's got a new record, too. The Brass Lassie 10-piece group of hers is really starting to get some really good buzz. So, yeah, I want to play that. But you had suggested, we were just talking about
guitars,
and why I don't really consider myself a good studio guitar player. And I'm not really a good studio guitar player because I'm too undisciplined. But I can play music if it's put in front of me. And I don't find that mostly that exciting, but I'll do it.
Do you read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's one. This is a song called Nothing But Time. You can look up Gary Rue Nothing But Time on YouTube, and it's there. There's a video. But it's from a live performance at Open Eye Figure Theater in Minneapolis from a long time ago. Well, it's all a long time ago, 2008. It was a CD release party of songs that recorded by other people of mine. And the album was called Show Up and Shoot. But this one, we talk about guitar solos. So this is just a solo guitar. And it's kind of funny to listen to it because, well, you just listen to what I say. It's a live recording and it's a lot of fun. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
You don't know what I'll go through to win your love. I'm counting on you. I won't give in. You won't back down. I can't hold. I got nothing but time.
Where were you? Where was that recorded?
It's called Open Eye Figure Theater at Portland and 24th in Minneapolis.
Wow, I like that. Yeah. You still have that voice? I mean, you are ranging.
Pretty much, yeah.
You can, okay. Yeah. And I thought your guitar work was very good.
Well, thank you. That's all off the cuff stuff. See, yeah. That's interestingly enough, when you're on, in quotation marks, when you're on, unquote, it's just that stuff just flows so naturally. And then when it doesn't, it doesn't. So, I mean, all the musicians know what I'm talking about when I say that, and you probably do too, because some days you're on, some days you're not on, right?
That's called being in the zone.
Be in the zone, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Is the zone.
And it's a great feeling. And when you are going to perform, you can agree or disagree with this, but most everybody, I have a little bit of the jitters before they get on stage. And they'll have butterflies in their stomach. And I always used to tell people, I kind of help people learn to speak publicly. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you have those butterflies in your stomach, just have them fly in formation.
That's good. And I like that.
Yeah. And that, you'll
I
do
like
it.
I like that. That's a great image. Butterflies in formation. That's good. I know a lot of people throw up. I know some people that do that. They get so nervous. Their stomach goes crazy.
Hmm.
But you get out there. My philosophy has always been, well, the show's going to go on and it's going to be over. And what's the worst that could happen? Nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Give it up and just go play. And so we do.
And if something happens on stage, you just got to be safe and continue entertaining.
Yep.
Speaking about entertaining, when did you entertain the thought of getting married?
Well, Laura and I have been together since 2007.
Yes.
She was getting ready to move down here to Northfield and downsize and just get rid of a lot of stuff, and because her son Dugan was raised and gone. And I met her, and I convinced her to hold off for a couple of years. So 4 years later, we finally came back down here, and we lived at 500 Nevada. And then in 2017, we moved back to the city. And then from my point of view, and I think probably Laura's too a little bit, although I don't want to speak for her, but we took a look around us and looked at Social Security and age and health care and things like that. And we thought, and house title and mutual property title. And we thought, why don't we get married? Because at first we did not want to. In 2007, we said, no, we've done that enough. She's been married a couple times. I've been married 3 times before. But this time it felt like the right thing to practically and pragmatically do. However, I will say that from my point of view, the way it feels right now, the relationship is a lot better. Different. It's different. It's softer edged, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It feels better. And I'm just really happy we did it.
And so, I think it's called commitment.
Yeah. Well, we were obviously committed before that, or we should have been. Ba-doom-boom.
But when you tie the knot, that's real commitment.
Yeah.
And even if you are speaking pragmatically and the opportunities and benefits of a marriage.
Yeah,
if you watch Judge Judy, she'll tell you that all the time. You guys can't go by way of a marriage dissolvement because you're not married. Yours is yours and his is his. Goodbye.
Yeah.
20 minutes before 11 o'clock, speaking about Lori McKenzie, why don't we talk about her new album?
Let me do that. I'll just run off at the mouth here just for a second, if I may.
And
this group is called Brass Lassie, and Laura has been dreaming about this for a long time, and it has been a lot of heavy lifting to get it where it is. It finally debuted about 2 years ago at the Scottish Fair in St. Paul, and it's 10 pieces. It's a four-piece female horn section. One trumpet, a French horn, trombone, bass trombone. And there's a rhythm section, of course, bass, drums, two fiddles, and a little step dancing thrown in. And Laura, with her myriad of collection of instruments, like she plays only about 6 or 7 in this show. But They finally did a debut CD. They got this thing done. She co-produced with a fellow named Peter Johnson, who was playing on a lot of this stuff of mine and used to play drums with Manhattan Transfer. And he did a marvelous job for them and recorded at Creation in Creation Studios in Minneapolis. And I watched her go through the process of it, bring home a mix, listen to it. No, something wrong with that. And then bring home another mix and bring another mix and listen to it in the car, listen to it in the living room, listening to it on your phone. And getting it just right, and the record finally came out. It is one heck of a record. It's really, really good. And the cut that I think would be best for you, it's not too long. It's the first cut. And let me explain what that is. It's a pair of songs. First one is called Anne Lacey's, which is written by Liz Carroll, a good friend of Laura's, who resides in Chicago and tours out of Chicago. The second piece is called Taybank Shenanigans, written by a fellow named Ross Ainsley, whom I don't know, but she describes it as two reels from two fantastic tune makers and players. And it was arranged for Brass Lassie by a fellow named Peter Enblom, did the horn arrangements. And it just knocks your socks off. The band is just fantastic.
Oh, let's hear. All right, here we go. All right, so far. Whoa, I like it.
Yeah.
Woo, I'm tired. So, now, was that in studio, everybody, same time?
No. Okay. No, it was a rhythm section first, then the horn section, then the fiddles.
Well, then whoever mixed it did a heck of a job.
They did, yeah. That's Steve Weiss and Miles. Gosh, I'm going to forget his last name. Hamilton?
Because it's done individually and then mixed properly, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the bass player, which you could hear all the way through there. Mm-hmm. And he did some things, did some things that were really interesting going up and down as opposed to dun, 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 dun all the time.
Well, that fellow's name is Enrique Toussaint. He's from Mexico City. His family, the Toussaint family, is a bit like the Jackson or the Marsalis family here in the United States. Wynton Marsalis. I mean, famous, world famous jazz players. And he is also Paul Anka's bass player. And so he is in Brass Lassie, and he's brilliant. He's just bloody brilliant. He's really something. And Mark Anderson is playing percussion on there. He's very good also. And who do we have? Mary Vanorni is the primary fiddle player. She's really, really good. She plays, and as a matter of fact, Laura and Mary Vanorni from this band are playing at Imminent. They're called the Frothy Band. They play at Imminent once in a while. I don't have their schedule with me.
Okay.
But those two, Laura and Mary, the fiddle player, are in that group, and they play at Imminent once in a while, too.
Now, when they're making that record, do they come to you for a critique? Or do you stay out of it? I'm wondering.
That's a good question too. You know, Laura. Laura is someone who absolutely knows what she wants. She's very, very clear about what she wants, and yet she would bring these things home and have me on occasion, maybe two or three times, give a close listen and offer an opinion on something she thought was maybe not right, but maybe it was okay. And I did that. I was happy to do that, but I tried to stay away from it because I'm a real opinionated guy. I can just be walking through the living room and catch 2 seconds of something and say, the bass is too loud, you know. And she's going to say, no, it's not for this type of music. This is Irish, Scottish, Celtic, some could call it, traditional songs and tunes. And that's what this is. And to me, it's a little bit like traditional music people, as the name might imply, are traditionalists. And this has created some delightful controversy in some small circles because of the employing of horns, which you don't do.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, very limited version of, for example, Dylan playing an electric guitar at the Newport Folk Festival. Some people just say, I don't know, really, you want to do that? But most people, and she's finding a broad audience. We played at the Rock Bend Folk Festival in St. Peter's Sunday. I should say their band did. And they found acceptance with a blues audience. And so we were talking about this yesterday, and Laura said, you know, this doesn't have to go to Irish Scottish festivals. This can go to just about any festival. Yes, it can.
That first cut there, I mean, I think most anybody that likes music would like that.
It's pumping, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets your toe tapping. It's good stuff. And so just watch my brilliant segue here. I went to Indianapolis last week on Wednesday through Saturday to a thing called the Arts Midwest Conference. It's 9 states in the upper Midwest who have banded together for a trade show that has exhibitors like me and presenters like Kristen Twitchell is a member of this organization, or at least Minnesota Presenters Network. They would walk down the aisles and look at what bands they might want to book, you know, and it went on for 3 days. And I'm not really an agent. That's not what I really want to do, but I do it because I get things like Brass Lassie come across my field of vision. And I feel so strongly about this band that Fab Six, the Beatle Band, and Brass Lassie went down there, put banners on a table and just hawked what we could, brochures and everything. Brass Lassie got a number of people interested in it. Fab Six, the Beatle Band, disappointed in a sense that only one person expressed an interest in that out of the 300 people there.
Do you have the music there and they put on headsets and listen?
Yeah, it's got to be headsets. I had a video playing, a looped video of Brass Lassie playing. And they got a lot of attention.
Are there vocals on this?
Some.
Do you think we can get one in?
Or it's important
to
know.
But you have something else that I want to talk about.
It's important to know that in traditional music, a tune is an instrumental. A song is sung.
Okay.
Don't ever get that wrong in front of a traditional player.
So you know, can they sing a tune?
No.
Can they tune a song?
No. They can tune a fish.
Well, that is so corny. Okay.
You could play track nine. It's a softer tune, but it's a nice one. It's shorter than the last one.
Okay.
And that, I know we're pressed for time a tiny bit, so play that one. Yeah.
Bit of Gaelic in there or something?
That's exactly what it is.
All right.
Gaelic, yes. And I wanted to say quickly, heads up, everybody. We have tentative dates. Brass Lassie has a tentative date at the Fairmont Opera House next year. We're not quite sure when that's going to be.
That's a beautiful venue, by the way.
It is. And Kristen Twitchell over at Paradise Center for the Arts has expressed interest in a St. Patrick's Day in that neighborhood for this group next year. So and it's dependent on the Arts Tour Minnesota grant from the state of Minnesota Arts Board. But if we get that grant, we'll be coming down there. Brass Lassie will be coming down there. I keep saying we because for the last 5 days in Indianapolis, I've been hawking this group. And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance ever to see them, go see them. They will knock your socks off. I'm really, honestly, very sold on this. It's very incredibly unique stuff.
And beautifully arranged. Who was the singer on that?
That was Laura.
That was?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Laura.
I had her in here with her fiddle, right? More than
she's not a fiddler, but flute, bagpipe, concertina, whistle, voice.
Okay, well, I had somebody in here with the fiddle. I don't know who it was.
I don't think it was Laura. I've not seen one around the house. So.
Okay, so maybe she brought her flute.
Possibly.
Yeah,
that would have been the instrument she would have chosen.
Yeah. So anything new that you're going to do or you want to let people know?
Oh, just no, not really. I mean, the Brass Lassie is the project that's most on my mind because I think it will it has the most chance of success. But in this, I would say that in this agency that I started after I got out of McNally Smith.
Well, let's talk about that right after these messages.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, I'm April Kopak, manager at Three Links Apartments in Northfield. We are an active, independent community of older adults and disabled individuals. Our spacious one-bedroom apartments feature controlled key access, off-street parking, and are handicap accessible. This is a place to call home, make new friends, and participate in many activities and exercises. Tours are welcome. Please call Three Links Apartments at 664-8850 or find out more at threelinks.org.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
The last Cannon Falls Area Chamber Fun Fest is this Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. With over 54 local vendors and businesses all on Historic Mill Street, it's sure to be a beautiful night to eat, shop, play vendor bingo, and have the kids get their faces painted. Entertainment provided by classic country singer Josh Habercorn. It's all this Thursday in Cannon Falls.
All right, 2 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, my guest this morning, Gary Rue. Gary, I want to give you all the time you need to talk about your new adventures.
Okay, the new adventure is an agency called newmusicarts.org on the web, newmusicarts.org. And what it is I decided to see if all these artists who I'm really good friends with would like to just throw their weight behind a brochure when I took down to Indianapolis last week. They include Maud Hickson, an absolutely beautiful vocalist. Prudence Johnson, Dan Chouinard are involved in this as well. I also have The New Shoes, which is Guys All-Star Shoe Band, reformed since the Prairie Home Companion broke up. And I've got another group called Lush Country, which is a wonderful thing. I've got Ava Beneke and Richard Crean as a sort of a bordering on the classical rendition of mandolin and classical guitar. A lot of really, really wonderful people. And the, you know, just the absolute cream of the crop from the NPR demographic, Minnesota Public Radio, things like that. That's who these artists mostly are. And I just thought there's no excuse, absolutely no excuse for these people not getting out there and getting heard and making a decent living. That's my philosophy about it. So that's what I'm doing right now and still trying to keep writing. I'm working on three musicals still, trying to finish up the books for those. And I'm in about six bands. And everybody knows, you know, we're all busy. I'm busy. You're busy. Everybody's busy. It's nice to be busy.
So what bands are you in?
I'm in Lush Country, Nip and Tuck, Sensational Sleepers, Fab Six, and myself as a solo group. That's the five that I can think of.
All right. You did very well, by the way, naming all those names.
Not bad.
Nothing written in front of you.
But Brass Lassie right now is the what they say in the business, this band has legs.
Oh.
And it really does. It's getting a lot of really good buzz, and I'm sure that now that the record's out, reviews are going to come over from overseas for Laura, and we're going to do really well with this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And let's get together again in the near future.
I love this town.
Yeah, but I don't want to, you know, have to talk about the negative thing that happened in your life. But you seem to be surviving. And
yeah, we all got those things happen. They just do. That's life.
Well, I've been here for 50 years, so
yeah.
I
me too. Yeah. Not here, but...
But you've been alive for more than 50 years.
Yes, I definitely have.
Well, I am going to turn things over to our next host on KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1 on your FM dial. It is 11 o'clock in Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you, Gary Rue.
Thanks, Wayne.
Join Jeff Johnson, Terry Knight, and Tim McNiff on the KYMN Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 9, here on 95.1, The One.
Guy, his arm around her like a